Well, in the absence of our pastor tonight, he has asked Brother John Tiberi to bring the message tonight. So, Brother John, if you'll make your way on up here, come on and preach to us. Thank you, my brother.
All right, am I on? All right, take your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. We're going to be in verse number 41 is going to be our starting verse, verse number 41. Verse number 41, it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you, dear Lord. I ask and pray that you move me out of the way, dear Lord. Speak through me. Dear Lord, if there's someone here who does not know you as their Savior, we ask and pray that they come to the saving knowledge of you today. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I am glad to be here tonight. I am very honored by this privilege to be able to preach at the college that I graduated from. It is an honor. I was just thinking back that we've been here about 9 years. And the opportunity to preach in this pulpit would, if you asked me in my first day that I stepped on campus, whether I would ever be able to preach from this very pulpit, would not be possible, I wouldn't think. And it's a great responsibility. There's been great preachers that have preached behind this pulpit many years, many sermons that have touched my own heart. And just to bring a sermon that will be not even one-tenth of the power that they had. It would be my hope. And it's just a great responsibility. Thank you all, church, for supporting the children's ministry. Thank you for all the people that have done so much for the Christmas play. Thank you all for that. It was all the workers. It was not really me. All the workers did all the work, making sure the kids got up in time, got to their positions, and did everything correctly. And they made it what it was. It wasn't me. I just put a script together and made sure that everyone had a script, pretty much, and knew what was happening. Christmas is a great time of the year, you know. It is a time that we get to celebrate our Lord's coming to earth, being born, and that the promise of eternal life for us. And that there's a future in heaven for us because of him coming to earth and dying for us. And that if it wasn't for his birth, if it wasn't for the Christmas time, there would be no Easter time. There would be no resurrection. There would be no death on the cross if he had never came to earth to die for us. And right here in this passage, it's not Luke 2. Many times when you think of Luke 2, you think of the Christmas story, you know, Jesus being born in a stable, but we're not going to look at that. We're going to be looking down at verse number 41. It says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." Now, right here in this passage, we have Jesus traveling with his family. He was traveling with his parents. It says right here, the feast of the Passover. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, it talks about that every year there was three different feasts that the men of Israel had to go to Jerusalem for. And right here we have them going up for the Passover. The Passover was one of them, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they were going up, his Joseph, Jesus, and even his mom was going up there to Jerusalem. And right here, they went up to Jerusalem, they stayed the 7 days that they were supposed to be there, and then after those 7 days, they left, and they were traveling back right here, Joseph and Mary was at least. And it says, when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Now listen, we have some traditions when it comes to Christmas. There's some traditions that we have that about gift giving, about being merry, being happy. But we also have some traditions when it comes to the church. We have some customs that when it comes to the church. You know, God has had given them the instructions right here of how they should handle the feast. They were given the instructions of what they should do for the feast, what the men should go up for and do. And as a church, as a people, God has given us some traditions. God has given us some customs. When it comes to marriage, God has given us some customs, some traditions in that. And you know what? There's some people that want to attack marriage. There's some people that want to go after marriage, making it between one man and another guy, making it between two girls, making it between a guy and multiple girls, or reversed. That's not marriage. God has given us a tradition, a custom when it comes to marriage. And it's not ours to break. It's not ours to destroy. Right here, Joseph and Mary held to the customs. You know, we have the custom of marriage, the tradition of marriage, but we also have the tradition of gender. God has given us roles as a people, a man and female. God has made those two things. There's no other genders other than male and female. Now, there is some people that are confused about it. There are some people that are confused in their mind, and they're also spiritually confused. And it's our responsibility to teach them the Word of God. It's our responsibility to teach them the truth. They're looking for the truth, but we need to give it to them. It's the church's responsibility to do that. And because the church hasn't been active in the community, hasn't been active in teaching in the public schools, hasn't been reaching people in our community with the truth, this is why we're having it. We're mad at the government for legislating morality, for saying that it's okay to be transgender. Why aren't we in the government? We're too okay with being out of the government, not being hands-on, because it might be risky. Someone might get hurt. But you know what? We're losing the battle. Our children are falling into transgenderism because they don't know the truth. Our communities are falling into that mess because we're not being active in those areas. We've given up that battle. We're too okay with voting for someone for a pocketbook. I was tired of the election, if we're being honest. I already knew who I was going to vote for, but every news article I read, and every person that I listened to, their number one thing when you're arguing with someone or when you're trying to discuss someone, trying to get them on your side was, well, compare it to when Donald Trump was president. Compare their price of living. Now listen, I didn't vote for Donald Trump because of my price of living. I need to vote by my morality for the policies he's going to promote. And when we get to the point where we're voting for our pocketbook, we're already in ruin. I'd rather pay $1 million for a piece of bread and have a good community. I would rather have pay for that things, have abortion banned, have marriage between a man and a woman, than to worry, be a millionaire, and have a country that's going to ruin because their morality is shot. Now, you know what? We take a stand on those two things. But you know what? God has also given us the tradition of going to church. God wants us to be in church whenever the doors are open. Whenever the people are assembling, you should be there. When it comes to the Bible conference, you should be there. The missions conference, you should be there. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembly of yourselves together. And so much the more. You know, many times we look at it and, you know, we have a big church here. We have a lot of people here. But when you go to a different place and there's only two or three people and you say, well, they have a small attendance. My presence isn't going to matter. You know what? Jesus said in the Bible that where two or three are gathered, he'll be there. So if you and the pastor are there, hey, that's a church meeting. When me and my wife are there, that's a church meeting. why are we going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together? Why leave it behind? These things are not things that we can compromise on. These are traditions that we were given by God to hold to. They're customs that we're to hold to. Mary and Joseph here, they followed and obeyed God. Right here in the next part it says, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Right here, Mary and Joseph, they get caught up in the things of the Passover. They get caught up in the hustle and bustle of everyday life. They're traveling home from the Passover. And you know what? They miss a very important part of their family. Right here it says, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. They're missing their son. They're missing Jesus in it. Yeah. Right here, Mary and Joseph, they go with the crowd. It says, but they supposing him, in verse number 44, it says, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. You know, one of the most dangerous thing in the Christmas season is leaving Jesus behind. Right here it says, but they supposing him to be in the crowd. Listen, we have a lot of traditions. You know, me and my wife, we go to Maryland and we go spend time with family. And that's good. We do that every Christmas time. But you know what? In that hustle and bustle, there's a danger that we forget about our time with God. Right here, it says they supposed. You know, there's a lot of things that are damaged because we suppose things. We suppose that feeling of happiness when we're with family and friends is our relationship with God. Right here it says, but they supposing him to be in the company went a day's journey and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Now we're going to spend time with our family at Christmas time. And that's good. That's great. But you know what? Are you going to let your family influence you? Are you going to let your family take that time away from God? It's important. It says right here, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. There's people that are looking for Jesus. There's people that are looking for Jesus in our family. Are we going to take him with us to Christmas time? Are we going to take him with us to our family meetings? Or are we just going to put that on the back burner? Right here, they supposed that he was in the crowd. It says, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They went a whole day without Jesus. Then they looked for him among kinsfolk and acquaintance. You'll never find Jesus in the people. You'll find him in the prayer closet. You'll find him reading your Bible. But you're not going to find him in the people. There's people looking for Jesus in Catholicism, in Buddhism, in books, all those things. But you're never going to find it till you get into the Word of God, till you get into your prayer closet. Right here, they go a day's journey. They get away from Jesus, a day's journey with a kinsfolk and acquaintance. And it says, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. So once they look for him with their kinsfolk, they turn around again and they go back to Jerusalem where they had been. They go find him. They go looking for him. And it says, and it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, right here, I figure when they go back to Jerusalem, I figure that it's like the kid at Walmart, okay? The kid at Walmart, he gets separated from his mom, and all of us have probably done it. Maybe you're the kid, maybe you're the parent, but the kid gets away from the parent. You're walking down the aisles, and all of a sudden, your mom or your dad go down another aisle, and you're all the way at the other side of the store. You think you're in China or somewhere. You think you're lost, and you get scared because you think that you've lost your parents. You pray and hope that, hey, I hope that they didn't just leave me at this Walmart by myself. I'm going to get kidnapped. I'm going to stay here till the lights turn off. And you start screaming, mom, mom, mom. And you look for your mom or your dad, whoever brought you, and you have fear. Right here, Mary and Joseph, they were scared. They lost Jesus. In verse number 48, it says, I have sought thee sorrowing. Listen, when was the last time that your relationship with Christ affected you? That it made you sad? That where you're at in your relationship with Christ, your backsliding made you physically sad, physically affected you? Too many times in this life, in the Christian life in America, you know, we go from one thing to the other. And it's not bad. It's good that we are busy people. But at the same point, are we so busy that we're not serving the Lord? That we're not having a relationship with Christ? Right here, they had left him in the crowd. They had left him behind. And they come back sorrowing. And then, you know what? Jesus, in verse number 49, says, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? The first thing that Jesus says to them, says, how is it that you sought me? When we come back to Christ, how do we come back to him? Right here it says that it takes them till they're sorrowing for Christ. You know what? When we have our relationship with Christ, there's some tears that are shed. There's some real pain when we get away from Christ. There's a lot of discomfort. We miss him. We lose that comfort of knowing him and being close to him. The peace that comes along with that. And he says, how is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? When they finally find him, you know what they find him doing? Preaching. Teaching. Right here it says, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Right there in verse number 47, it says, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He was talking to the doctors, the people that had studied the word of God, that studied the law, knew the law probably in and out. And Jesus is here soul winning. You know what? When you get close to God again, you see what his business is. It's winning souls. That's why he came to earth. He came to earth for me. He came to earth for you. But you know what? He came to earth to seek and save that which was lost. When we get back to Christ, we'll win our family to Christ. When we get back to them, when we put Christ back in Christmas, we'll testify and we'll give the gospel to our family members. But you know what? When we leave them, we aren't about his business. And it says, and he understood not the saying which he spake unto them. When we get away from God, when we get away from the customs and the traditions that God has given to us, we start losing Christ in Christmas. We put the traditions and things of Christmas in front of him, and we lose what he has put us here to do. Lose sight of that. We're all prone to wander. In the song, Come Thou Fount, the last verse says, oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Listen, we're all prone to wander. No matter what age you are, no matter if you're 5, no matter whether you're 50, you're 55, 95, we're all prone to wander. In this Christmas time, have we put Christ first, or have we put Christmas first? Have we let the Christmas plays and the Christmas parties and things like that overshadow the real meaning of Christmas? Are we going to be about our Father's business when we go to Christmas with our family? Or are we just going to suppose that he's in the midst of it? All right, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Dear Lord, I ask and pray if there's someone here, dear Lord, that does not know you as their Savior, we ask and pray that it comes to saving knowledge of you today, dear Lord, just as we have this invitation, dear Lord. We ask and pray that we would once again, dear Lord, put you back in Christmas, dear Father, that we would be focused on you this Christmas time, dear Lord, and that we would be about your business, dear Lord, and that we would give the gospel to whoever that we come across. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.